Because you see, every country needs a specific amount of money in order to operate. Money is to the real economy like blood to the human body. You can have a perfectly healthy human being, and I understand you have to have 5 or 6 liters of blood. But if you have too much blood, you'll blow up. And if you have too little blood, you can have the healthiest human being, but if instead of 5 liters of blood, you just leave him 2 liters of blood, he'll die. Why? He has insufficient amount of money. And that is what the private control over central banking has done, always giving us not enough money, which they will then provide with interest-bearing, funny banking money. What is the amount of money that a country needs? I don't know. I don't know in Argentina, I don't know in America, I don't know in Brazil, but I do know that it can be calculated. So the point is not to have the number, that's for the experts. But the amount of money that an economy needs, a national economy, is based on the population. We're 40 million Argentinians, you are 300 million Americans. The territory, how large is it? We are about half the size of America, so naturally, that's another parameter to keep in mind. The velocity of circulation, how fast does a dollar bill circulate? You pay it to somebody who goes to the store and buys bread, and the guy who sold you the bread and took the dollar will use it to pay a tax or to fill his gasoline tank for his car. The level of national savings, the infrastructural needs of the community, whether it be strategic or whether it be social, you know, hospitals, schools, and so forth. Trade. Commerce, it's highly dynamic, but the amount of money that an economy needs can be calculated. So here I want to come to a specific example that has a lot to do with Argentina, because it is basically the problem that collapsed us and will collapse us yet again in the future. So what I'm about to say is the lesson that Argentina can contribute, but not that we've done it, because we have not done this, which is the way things should be done. Let me give you an example. Let's say we need to build a highway from Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina, to Córdoba, which is the second largest city, 500 miles away. And we're going to do that in a year. And it costs $120 million. Now, the cement, the steel, the asphalt, the paint, the guardrails, the light posts, the lamps, the signs, the construction contractors and subcontractors, the insurers who are going to insure the entire operation, the architects, the engineers, the workers, who need work, who need a job. Everything is ready to start moving in Argentina. It's low tech, no big deal to build a highway, just a lot of cement. It's all here in Argentina. We don't need to import anything. Now how do we do it? The banker's model. Priority for the banker's model is profits for them, for the bankers and for the corporations. So the first thing they say is the central bank must not issue the pesos to build the highway, because that creates inflation. Scary. The central bank must not issue the money, and otherwise we're going to have inflation. So nothing can be started until the banker comes in. And in my country, it's even worse than in America's, because the banker says, we got to get a US dollar-based loan from the World Bank or from the Citicorp or from JP Morgan. At least you print your dollars. We can't do that. So we're going to get ourselves indebted in US dollars to build a peso highway from Buenos Aires to Córdoba. Their way, the banker's way, the banker's model, means interest payment, purchasing things at a higher cost from specific dealers and suppliers and so forth, and worse, there's always a component which is, I call it money sloshing. Since there has to be interest payments and there has to be a lot of corruption, there has to be a lot of people who have to be fixed in what they do, they will leave a lot of money for all the backstage kickbacks and so forth. The common sense model, priority, the common good of the people. How does that work? The central bank issues the money necessary to build the highway. Let's say it's $120 million pesos in a year. Let's do $10 million per month. As you issue the money and as you pay the contractors and the workers and the insurance companies and the subcontractors, part of that money automatically comes back as taxes to the state. And as the road gets built and you start seeing that economic growth follows, because you will have gas stations, restaurants, supermarkets, new towns will start growing in next to the highway. That in turn will also, that economic growth, generate higher tax revenues. And that can be retrieved by the government. Now, as the government recovers that money, it can destroy it, take it out of circulation, or it can do something more intelligent. Use the same money to build another highway. No debt, no interest payment. This is what we call national sovereign currency. Now, many of you I know are still probably yelling, inflation, Beware of the experts who always yell inflation. Inflation has two sources. First source of inflation, and we know about it because we had hyperinflation in 1989. When the state, or the government, issues money to finance that which is not productive. In other words, to finance government administration, the civil service, to finance schools, to finance hospitals, to finance the police, because there is not an economic growth factor behind that. That has to be financed with tax revenue. All the public administration, of course, has to be financed with tax revenue. That's why we have to have good tax policy to recycle that part of the money. Issuing money, however, to pay for a highway which will make the economy grow is not inflationary, because that additional amount of money will be needed by the economy in order to grow, which is exactly what we're trying to do. The second cause of inflation is banking interest and fractional banking lending. Where do you think interest payments come from? A lot of it comes from inflation. Argentina 2001-2002. We went to a tremendous collapse because we did not have enough money. We did not have enough money around. In other words, the 5 liters of blood, we were down to 1 liter. So what did our provinces do? Each on their own, they started issuing provincial money. They called them patacones in the province of Buenos Aires, lecor in the province of Córdoba, quebrachos in the province of Corrientes and Chaco. It helped to weather the storm, because each province who was not getting the necessary pesos at least could pay wages to teachers, civil servants, unemployment benefits, and so forth. And there was no inflation. Inflation came later. And the IMF got so bloody scared that they forced the following president, Mr. Duarte, to retrieve and withdraw all those provincial monies, replace them with pesos, and believe it or not, the pesos themselves were backed by a World Bank US dollar denominated loan, so now we owe the World Bank money for having retrieved those currencies which worked so well. Sovereign currency is what we do not have. It requires a lot of intuition to understand it. And very often, nothing better than a poet to have good intuition to understand something. A Chinese poet from the Tang Dynasty, he was the court advisor also, by the name of Bo Chu-yi, in the 8th century said, "Let the farmers grow their wheat. Let the bakers bake their bread. Let the merchants do their trade. Let the warriors fight the wars. But issuing currency, that belongs solely to the emperor." A wise man indeed. He knew that whoever controls the national currency can control the entire country. Who controls your currency? Who controls your country? Who controls my currency? Who controls my country? Let me just compare this to in closing, with the comparison between the Titanic and Noah's Ark. You have to have the right information. When Noah, from the Bible, began building the ark, it wasn't even raining. But he had good information from the man upstairs, and he knew what he was doing. The people who built the Titanic, however, they had bad risk management. They didn't take into account icebergs in the middle of the night in the North Atlantic. They didn't supply the need for good radio that was just starting at that time. And they didn't even have enough lifeboats for the boat. So the unsinkable Titanic sank, like the US dollar. Second, Noah was an amateur. He wasn't a shipbuilder. The Titanic was built by the best professionals, however. Third, alas, Noah's Ark survived a global flood. The Titanic could not even survive an iceberg in the middle of the North Atlantic. Morale. Do what you must do. Use your common sense and don't pay attention to the experts. And when I say the experts nowadays, I mean the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, Mr. Bernanke, your Treasury Secretary, Mr. Geithner, Mr. Summers, Mr. Soros, Paul Volcker, Robert Rubin, Alan Greenspan, Standard & Poor's, Moody's and Fitch's, who have so much responsibility in what's happening, the economists at the Bank of America, JP Morgan, Citigroup, the IMF, the Bank of International Settlements in Geneva, in my country, Mr. Domingo Cavallo, who is a Rockefeller protege, Harvard and Chicago experts, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Group of 30, Bernie Madoff, an expert. Don't listen to the experts. Let's place our faith in the all-powerful. Learn to listen, and in the end, we'll reach safe haven. In closing, we must take our respective countries back. For you, it means taking back the United States of America, taking back the United Kingdom, Japan, Canada, France. For me, it's Argentina. Remember, the parasites, although very powerful as a group, is a very small group. The hard workers, you and me, we carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders. And if we start joining forces, we can take the world back, just as we can take our countries back. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us.